This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
Oh, John Rizzo. I'm a state representative for the 19th District, which is Independence, parts of Independence, Sugar Creek, and Kansas City.
Excellent. Let's get started.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go. It is good to be here in the production studio at KCUR 89.3. I'm Brian Ellison, and we are glad Representative John Rizzo, Democrat of Kansas City, can join us. He's not the only one at the table, though, today with our coffee and our donuts. We've also got Jennifer Mann, who is a former reporter, just moved back to Kansas City from some time in Florida. Welcome to you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. And also KCUR's Kyle Palmer, my colleague and our morning newscaster. Good to see you, Kyle.
Good morning, Brian.
First, we want to go around the table and see what's on the minds of our panelists, our guests today. Jennifer, let's start with you. What's on your mind?
Well, I have been, of course, like many people, following the religious freedom legislation in the General Assembly, and I'm interested to hear what John might have to say about that. And I was encouraged to see some Republicans questioning, why are we doing this? There are other issues that we need to be taking up and considering.
Fair question. She's talking about Senate
Absolutely
Joint Resolution
no,
39,
well.
the measure in that was passed by the Senate over a Democratic filibuster attempt called a religious shield bill. It would purports to protect both clergy and churches, but also businesses from having to provide services to same-sex couples that are seeking to be married. What do you say about that?
Oh, I think that the House Republican leadership totally underestimated the intensity of that piece of legislation. Consequently, has pretty much halted the Senate and their process over the filibuster. So, and I hope that my Republican colleagues can see the legislation for what it is and the discriminatory practice of what is going on with it. And I have to be optimistic sometimes down there, being in the super minority. So,
Kyle.
Well, that gets to what I was going to ask you, is do you, if it comes before voters, if it does pass out and it becomes a ballot issue in November, I mean, do you worry that Missourians would pass it and they would approve it?
I think that looking at the legislature now, or looking at the electorate now of the state of Missouri, it's in a totally different place than it was even 4 or 5 years ago. So I couldn't tell you. And then you also have to take into the aspect of Trump being a nominee. And if Trump is the Republican nominee, do Republicans stay home? Does that, you know, kind of that kind of voter that would vote for that not go get out and vote for it?
Kyle Palmer, what's your thought today?
Well, not that bipartisan comedy was ever anything that was, I think, a priority in the previous sessions, the last 3 or 4 years. But do you feel like this debate over this religious shield bill, both in the Senate and in the House, but especially in the Senate, has it deepened divisions? Has it poisoned the atmosphere in Jefferson City anymore?
Oh, I definitely think it's poisoned the atmosphere in the Senate, because it has changed the way that the Senate goes about what they're doing. The one thing you have in the Senate is the filibuster. When you take that off the table and you move the previous question like they did on that legislation, you're essentially changing the Senate.
I want to ask you, as part of the Democratic leadership, mm-hmm. you are the whip in leadership. You are in a position to help set the agenda, to set the course, at least for your, as you said, a super minority caucus
sure.
within the House, but still obviously part of what sets the agenda. If you, at this midpoint in the session, had to stop and take stock and say, here's what we're going to make our priorities for the next couple of months, for the rest of this session, what are the top two or three agenda items that you, as a Democratic leader, would hope to accomplish?
I would definitely say, obviously, education is a big issue. Underfunding the formula, which it seems to have happened again this year. But the thing on the forefront, the economic tool that we're not using, is Medicaid expansion. I mean, we're talking about, I believe the last numbers are $1.8 to $2 billion into the economy. So, I mean, if you want to talk about an economic development tool, that would be something that I'm sure most Democrats, if not all Democrats, I would imagine all Democrats would like to see get done more than anything in this session. And it's our It's the expansion of what we've already done. This is not the Obamacare that everybody wants to, you know, go around and beat up and everything else. This is the system that's currently in place, that was put in place, I might add, by the Republican majority in, I want to say, 2006. And this would just be expanding that.
I guess I'm curious, though, about the arguments opposed to that, which are, in some cases, connecting it, as you said, to
sure.
to the Affordable Care Act and a bill that Republicans in the majority don't support and mm-hmm. not wanting to give their tacit endorsement to that plan by accepting those federal funds, but also the question of whether those federal funds are really reliable, whether it makes sense for the state to build its future economic
sure.
plans around money that they aren't sure will be there.
Well, I can tell you this: the federal government has, to my knowledge, never defaulted on highways. They've never defaulted on other money that comes into the state of Missouri. I find no reason to think that they would default without a plan. I think the reason why it always stalls is kind of this polarization that we've seen in Washington kind of trickling down into Jefferson City and local politics. Is I think there's a lot of people on the opposite side of the aisle for me that are in the Republican majority that would love to vote for it, but they're scared to death of actually being on the record as voting for something that President Obama proposed.
Do you think that Republicans would vote for this if it didn't require them to go on record as supporting Obamacare?
I think if you took a vote in the House in a non-election year, of course, I think if you took a vote in the House in a non-election year, it would pass.
The other item you mentioned as one of your priorities going forward for the rest of this session is education and funding it at a higher level. How much would be enough? And is that even a possibility?
Well, so we took I wasn't there when they did this, but they took the limits off of the casinos years ago because all of that money goes to education, thinking that that would get us closer to fully funding the foundation formula, which is a very complicated thing. And we didn't see that happen. I want to say last year they were $600 million short of fully funding the foundation formula. There's a bill out there right now to lower the bar to pretty much funding it at the levels of where we're at right now. It'd still be a little bit short, but the bar would be set lower. When we're sitting here talking about two school districts in Kansas City or in Kansas City and St. Louis areas that struggle, I don't see how you can't put enough money into those districts to give them a chance to survive.
Final word from you, Jennifer?
Well, I am curious your opinion. If Mr. Trump is the nominee.
Sure.
How do you think that will affect the down-ticket races in Missouri?
Well, I think you're in a situation. You're in a dual situation for Republicans to where if Donald Trump is the nominee, I think people stay home on the Republican side. I think there is a certain Reagan Republican that you would see, or you would call him country club Republican, that I think would stay home, and that hurts their numbers. If he's not the nominee, I feel like he'll run as a third-party candidate, and then you get people that divide the vote, and in any scenario, I think that the Democratic nominee is the next president.
But how do you think it'll affect the state races in Missouri?
Sure. So if they stay home, clearly the numbers are fewer for them in their state parties. I mean, in their state elections, whether that's for state Senate or state House or you know, our governor's race or so on and so forth. If Donald Trump is a third party nominee, I feel like those people go into the booth and cast their ballot for Donald Trump and leave.
Sounds like you're expecting big Democratic gains in November here in Missouri.
I'm hopeful. I try to be the eternal optimist. So I am hopeful that people in the state of Missouri will see Donald Trump for what he is and decide to be good Democrats in November.
All right. You heard it here first. I want to thank our guests for joining us today. That was KCUR's Kyle Palmer and Jennifer Mann. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And, of course, State Representative John Rizzo from Kansas City. We always try to learn one last thing about you.
Sure.
What song are you thinking about right now?
So I've been listening to some David Bowie. Life on Mars is one of my favorites.
We are getting a lot of David Bowie requests lately.
Yeah,
I wonder what plays in the halls of Jefferson City. Yes, keeps coming up. Life on
Space
Mars.
Oddity, maybe.
We got Space Oddity a few
yeah,
weeks
Space
ago.
Yeah, Space Oddity would be good.
Well, Life on Mars it is. Thanks so much for being here, John.
Thank you.
Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. I'm Brian Ellison. We'll see you next time.
That was an excerpt from Statehouse Blend, KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can listen to the full episode by subscribing on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.